This little illustration that I want to start with this morning will probably test you out if you're a little young, because it's kind of not so, you don't see so much of this nowadays, but when I was a young fellow out at the farm, and probably whether I was on the farm or not, this would have been relevant for young guys, was when you every now and again on the weekend, we would get my dad's old Valiant, or before that, whatever car he had. And when it was due, he would say, "Oh, today we're going to give the radiator a bit of a rinse out." And so the radiator, for those who, and I'm no mechanic, so I'm really conscious of Colin sitting there and others who know a lot more than me about cars. But you know, the radiator is the bit right at the front of the engine where, you know, the water is flowing and cooling down the engine when it gets hot, so the water runs through the motor and around the jacket of the motor to keep it cool. So who knew that already? Yeah, okay, that's good. So we're talking to the right people, that's good. So yeah, so the radiator is pretty important at the front for keeping the engine cool. And these days it's all sealed off and you never really have to touch it, or I don't think you do, unless you've got some older cars like some of you, you know, that you play with and that sort of thing. But what we used to do is we would get the car and we'd take the radiator cap off, and you'd have a look inside. She's all a little bit rusty, you know, in there, a bit brown. So my dad would stick the hose inside the radiator, and he'd turn her on full bore, and we'd go off and do something for a while, and it's really clean water was going into it, and I think we used to call it flushing the radiator, so the clean water would go in and the dirty water would spill up and out of the radiator. And when you came back a bit later, it was looking a fair bit cleaner, and then a little bit later, it was looking really pretty well clean, because the rusty water had been displaced by the clean water that was going into it. And you know, this might be strange to some, I'm not sure, but when I think about that whole displacement thing, and there's lots of illustrations that you could use, but that's one that comes to mind for me, putting the clean water in. You know, if I looked at it, I guess what you can do as well, but I don't know why we didn't do this, but you know, you can take the plug off the bottom of the radiator and just let the whole lot drain out, and you could rinse her out and then put the plug back in and fill her up with clean stuff. But I don't know why we didn't do that. There might be a reason. Cole, was there a reason? Too lazy to take the plug out, or what? Or better to do it which way? Put the hose in? Yeah, cool. So that was really a good idea. All right, I'm pleased about that, because I'd never really thought about why we did that. But anyway, so we did that. And what I'm thinking about is, today I want to just talk about the church as an army. And I've got this really, I've got this really clear picture in my mind, but I hope I can convey it to you, of, you know, the whole biblical picture of the church as an army. I mean, it talks about how we're fighting a warfare. It talks about how we're good soldiers in Timothy. It talks about, you know, be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is these pictures woven through scripture of a warfare and of being an army, etc. But again, today it's really a difficult analogy, because even some of the things that Ray spoke about, and didn't Ray do a great job today, really appreciated, you know, what he had to share and to pray for those situations that are happening around the world. It just overwhelms us, doesn't it, at times? But prayer is the best response. But you know, many of the situations we think, how can we do this? And even in our own communities, in our own nation, there are things that happen and we think, oh, we've got to really fight that. And in a way we do. So I just want to say, like, there are times that we fight. The Bible talks about a warfare and a fight. But I think by and large, the biggest, the most relevant picture that we can apply is that he's already won the victory for us, that he's fought the battle, that when he went to the cross, he overcome, you know, really the enmity of everything that would stop us from being all that he wanted us to be. The word saved is actually the Greek word sozo. Many of you would know that. And it really means to be made whole. And Carmen wrote a song some years ago, and I know I've mentioned this before for those who've been around for a while, but Carmen wrote a song when there was some teaching about this word sozo and being saved and how it means to be made whole. And one of the more literal definitions, if you like, and there's all sorts of definitions, but one of the definitions is that God has restored us to all that he has desired or intended for our life to be. And so Carmen wrote this song when she was listening to that teaching, and she wrote a lot of songs in those days, and she wrote this song, and it was called S-O-Z-O, "The Lord has delivered me from all that would restrict the fullness of his blessing coming forth in me." Now, I won't sing it to you, and I won't ask Carmen to at no notice, because she's my mum-in-law and she's got a walking stick that actually looks fairly lethal. But that's how the song went. It went, S-O-Z-O, "The Lord has delivered me from all that would restrict the fullness of his blessing coming forth in me." And so when Jesus went to the cross, he defeated our enemies. He won the victory. And when we as his army now are going out into our world, because that's the Great Commission, that's what we'll talk about this morning, but we're going out into the world, into our community, into our region, into our nation, into the nations or whatever, and that's what we do as individuals, that's our thought. As a church, that's definitely our thought. And so as we do that, we're not kind of going out to scrap. Well, what we're doing is we're going out to take the territory that has already been won for us. And it's a really good picture. Now, I know that in doing that, you still need the weapons of your warfare. You still need to be mindful of the enemy's strategy. So it's not like it's just a skip in the park. It's still a battle. It's still like a challenge, isn't it? But you know, we've been given the authority. We've been given the victory. And so we've got to think of it in terms of not going out to see how we go, but to actually know the victory is ours, and that what we're doing is we're going out and we're determined, our feet are planted, we're aware of what we need to know to do that. We're conscious of needing to be dependent upon God as he goes with us. We can't do it in our own strength. But what we're recognizing is that he's called us into the world and he's given us everything that we need and he's won the battle, and that we can actually go and we can take authority, you know, in our world, you know, in our lives, in our world, in our communities and beyond. What's this got to do with rinsing the radiator? Well, what I see is as we are light and salt, as we go out, you know, as ones who are filled with his light, filled with his spirit, filled with his living water, however you want to, you know, to think about it, because they're all scriptural terms. But as we do that, what we're doing is we're really washing our world, aren't we? We're washing our world with truth. We're washing our world with just his presence that's inside of us. We're washing his world with, and this is a good one, because truth can often, we can often get the idea of like contention, and we've got the truth and they got the truth and we're going to win the argument. But it's not really that. It's just living out the truth, taking the truth into the world and living it out. And as we live it out, it actually is stronger and has more authority than the enemy. So it rinses, you know, it really rinses our world. And we can say, well, we're going to go out, we're going to take all the wicked out of the world. We're going to really fight for this and fight for that. Now, again, I want to pause and just say there is a time when we need to speak up. A few weeks ago, we just asked people to sign a petition, if you're willing to do that, because we felt like there were some laws that were being, you know, turned around or in our state that were not good laws and we're not valuing, you know, the unborn child. And so we said, well, let's put our name to that and let's say that actually we're not happy with that. We don't agree with that. And we want our legislators to know that there's actually a strong voice out here that we want you to consider, because you're doing, you know, what is opposite to the people's wishes and what we want, because we want to protect life and value life. So there are times to speak up. There are times when it takes courage. There's times when it's unpopular to make a stand. But we're not out there like trying to fight. We're not out there seeing how we go. But what we're doing is we're just filled with his word, filled with his presence, filled with his power, filled with his authority, and we're just stepping out into our world. And so I kind of see that, you know, we're not better than anyone else, but what we're doing is we're actually washing our world as we live in our community and allow his light to shine through us. And in all of that, we're totally dependent upon him. It's not about us. It's not our goodness. Otherwise, we're all in big trouble. Who knows that? If it's about our goodness, we're in trouble, aren't we? You know, and it's not like we go out and we just kind of live totally opposite to God's ways and just say, oh, well, we're imperfect people. I mean, that's not really what it's about either, is it? But we are imperfect people. But what we have is we have inside of us his capacity, his ability to love, and to his ability to love what is right and to really value that, whether we succeed all the time or not. We're valuing that, and that's what's in our heart, and that's what we're raising up within our community. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? And so this whole idea of rinsing our community is not because we're better than anyone or whatever, but we have His love inside of us and we want to share that and we want to take that out into our community. And so we've got this idea of the church as an army, or a word that we like to use, and this came from a guy called Jerry Cook some years ago, who influenced my life and has influenced the way that I lead this church and the way that we sometimes preach about this theme of the church. But he talked about the church as an army, or the church as a force, because, you know, again, the army can have all sorts of connotations, can't it, and whatever. So, but the church as a force, and he talks about us as a force going into the world. And I don't want to get too sidetracked on this, but you know, some of the concepts, if you like, that he spoke about that have really impacted me were, you know, the concept of the church being Jesus in our community. And actually that, you know, he used to make a statement, or he made a statement that really got my attention when I heard him speaking and then read some of his material. But he talked about, I'm excited about the church on Sunday, but I'm excited about the church on Monday. And he talked about the church on Sunday, where we gather together to be equipped and inspired and encouraged, you know, so that we can go out into our world and just take the love of Jesus and take the authority that we've been given to bring, you know, the love and the life of Jesus into our community. And so that's the church at work on Monday. Do you know what I mean? And so he talks about, and again, I am getting a little sidetracked, but I think it's worth just painting this picture. He talked about two opposite things. One is the church as a field, where, you know, the building is the field, and we go out into the world, and our idea is, our concept, our mindset is that we want to round everyone up and bring them into the building. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, it's good to bring people in, isn't it? We love it when we have visitors. And if you're visiting today, we just love having you here. And we just enjoy being able to value people. And, you know, if people are searching for God and they come along and are part of what we do here, we really love that. Isn't that right? But, you know, but what he talks about is the church as a field focuses everything on bringing people in and what happens in here on a Sunday. But the church is a force. You know, Sundays are important. Gathering is important. But the church is a force. Is the world is the field. And, you know, we're going into the world, and so we're being encouraged, we're encouraging each other, and we're learning and we're growing together so that we can go out into our world and be light and salt into our world. And so, you know, this is not the field, but, you know, we're the force going out into the field, which is the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And so what he's done is he sent us into the world. Is that right? That's what he did. He sent Jesus into the world, and then he sent us to be his body and go into the world. Alrighty. Now, I thought I was going to be able to look up the back, Glenn, but I can't do that, hey? So we're going to talk about the church as an army or as a force. And I noticed a quote, or I remember a quote that this fellow Jerry Cook made. And so I'm just quoting him a little bit this morning. But instead of saying, you know, in our prayer, Lord, give us the community, we're saying, Lord, give us to the community. It's a different mindset, isn't it? But I love that. I love that. Lord, give us to the community. Because we're not trying to, you know, to own the community in the wrong sense. But what we're saying is, you know, I just want to give myself to love on and to serve my community and be an ambassador for him. So we'll just flick over to the next one, which is just a summary of the four biblical pictures, and I know we've talked about them a lot before, so what I've just tried to do as I go through them this time is to just pick one aspect that I haven't necessarily focused on before. So when we talked about the church as a bride a few weeks ago, and over a few weeks, we talked about particularly that he first loved us. That's the thing I really felt to emphasize. So I didn't talk about too much else. I just said, you know, our intimacy with God is something that's so important. And really, I'd make this statement that everything we do, you know, as his army, as his body, and as his family, which I will talk about over a few more weeks, but everything flows out of our intimacy with him. You know, that's what really gives us our power. That's what really gives us our heart to love our community, is that out of intimacy and relationship with him, everything else flows. Our service and our giving and our evangelism and everything that we do flows out of relationship with him. So for the bride, I've put intimacy. For the army, I've put influence, because it's not about like power and force, but it is about influence. It's about permeating. It's about, you know, the ripples, you know, that go out. It's about rinsing, you know, the clean water that comes in and rinses. And so that's really the army, you know, being an influence into our world and into our community. And then the body, which is integrity, and that just talks about every single member. And I'll get to this I've got two more weeks before of preaching before I go on my extended leave. And so next Sunday I'll pick up on the body, and then on the last Sunday of June, there's two other people speaking in between, but on the last week of June, it's my last Sunday for a while, I'm going to finish up with talking about the church as a family. And so I'll cover both those things next week, and then on the last Sunday of June. And then you won't have to hear me preach for a while, but I'll miss that. Hope you will miss it a little bit too. But anyway, that's where we're heading. And so this is the four things that we've often talked about, and we've considered them to be core values in our church. But integrity is that each of us have a ministry from the youngest to the oldest. But it's not just like, oh, well, do whatever you like. It's really that we want to be a body together, that every member from the smallest to the biggest part, from the youngest to the oldest, is valued and has a part to play in the body. And again, we'll talk about that in more detail. But integrity is really about our hearts in outworking our ministry, you know, and the way that we work together as a body, respecting and loving and valuing each other's gifts. And so integrity is an important part of that, that we minister out of, you know, a heart that really is after what God wants. And then the family is about identity, that our identity is in who we are and belonging to the family, that I'm a child of God, not what I've done this and I've done that and I haven't made this mistake and I haven't made that mistake, because otherwise, again, we're all in trouble. But our identity is established upon, our worth is established upon being part of His family. You know, that was a free gift. It's an inheritance that we have. We just have to say yes to Him and enter into a relationship with Him. And then the Bible says we have authority to be a child of God, to be a son, and to be able to live as part of His family. And that's our identity. That's what gives me my value and my worth. And when I slip up and make big mistakes, you know, I can still look at myself and say, thank you, God, that you see me, you know, in this way. And so that's what it's all about. So we go to the next one. We're just talking about the church as an army. Again, I'm just going to focus on a couple of things specifically. Alrighty. So on this one, we're going to read Matthew 28, 18 to 20. I want to read it from the New King James, because that's the one that will be most familiar to us. And then we'll have a look at it from the Message Bible, which is up on the screen. So the New King James Bible says this from verse 18. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In Matthew 16, we can find a little bit of a variation of that. In Luke, we can find a little bit, I think, of that, but this is where we mostly find what we call the Great Commission. As Jesus had been resurrected on the third day, and then He met with His apostles before He ascended to heaven, He gave them this commission, which we call the Great Commission. He established His church, and He gave them authority. And so a few things I want to just mention on the next screen, I think. The first one is that we've been given authority. Oh, it's on the same screen. Yeah, beauty. Alrighty. We didn't read the message either, did we? Oh, I'm really rushing. Okay. So Matthew 28, 18 to 20 from the Message Bible says, Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all that I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. Don't you love that? It's beautifully worded, isn't it? So he says, the Father has given me this authority. And so I've said underneath that there, we've been given authority. You know, authority is an interesting thing to think about for a moment. Authority comes from submission. There's a verse in James 4, and we won't look at it this morning for time's sake, but it just says, submit to God. Or in another translation, it says, humble yourself before God. And then it says, resist the devil and he will flee. And when some people talk about, you know, the authority that we have as believers, you know, what they do is they say, well, they quote the second half of that verse, you know, that I'm going around and I'm resisting the devil, you know, resist the devil and he will flee. And that's only half the truth, isn't it? Because that verse actually says, it says submit to God. Or if that word submit is one that's a bit misunderstood, it just says humble yourself, you know, before God. We've often talked about it, but I like the definition of pride as being self-reliance and humility as being dependence upon God. Because it takes away the idea that humility is just being weak and quiet and withdrawn. But humility actually gives us incredible confidence, because instead of being dependent upon ourselves, you know, self-reliance, pride, you know, boasting about what we can accomplish, trusting in ourselves and relying upon ourselves, therefore taking the credit for what we achieve, but then also feeling totally disheartened, you know, when we don't succeed. Humility is dependence upon God. It's saying that my limitation is really determined by God's limitation, because I'm dependent upon Him. It's not about me, it's about Him. And so what it says was, it says if we will come to that place of dependence upon God, if we will, you know, come under His authority, then He will actually, then we will carry authority. So Jesus said the same when He went around, you know, in His years of ministry. He said, you know, whatever the Father, and again, you've heard me say all these things, but whatever the Father says, that's what I say. Where the Father goes, that's where I go. He says, you know, my meat is to do the will of the Father who sent me. Every statement was about just, what do you want, Father? I'm coming under you. I'm doing what you've commissioned me and given me to do. In Luke 4:18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. And that means He's given me authority and He's given me power. He's anointed me to set the captive free, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and to help the blind to see and to let the prisoner be released. And that's all over the place, but that's really what He was sent to do. And what He's done is He's delegated that to us to do that. And so He said, I do what the Father's given me to do. All authority has been given to me. And now I give that authority to you so that you can go out and you can do, you know, what I've purposed for you to do. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave His charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I've commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this day after day after day, right to the end of the age. And Matthew 5 just talks about being salt and being light, you know, and how salt brings, you know, if it has no flavor, well, it makes no difference, but it brings a flavor. It impacts and influences whatever it touches. And then the light, it says you don't hide the light, but you bring the light out because it's to be seen. And it will make a difference. And so influence, being salt and light in our community, are all concepts that we understand. And so, again, going back to that illustration of the pouring the fresh water into the radiator and rinsing that radiator, you know, we're going into our community with the authority that has been given to us to be salt and light into our community. You know, you don't bring light into a room by turning off the darkness. You just bring the light in and the darkness is gone. Is that right? And so, you know, that's really the concept, I guess, that we're talking about. He's given us power. And again, we could talk about that, but the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. When He gave the Great Commission, when Jesus gave the Great Commission to those disciples that were with Him, He said, what I want you to do is go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples and baptize and lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And He said, all the things, teach them to do whatever I've commanded you. You know, I'll be with you always. And He said, but what I want you to do is I want you to wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. And so they waited, and the Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost. And so we call ourselves a Pentecostal church because we believe that, you know, what happened on the day of Pentecost is available to every one of us today. We receive Jesus and we become a born-again believer. But then we open our heart to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, to enable us to do the thing that God has commissioned us to do. So we've been given authority. We've been given the power. You know, the fruit and the gift of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians 5:22. You know, because we have the Spirit, we have love and peace and joy, long-suffering, forbearance, patience, gentleness, etc. And then the gifts of the Holy Spirit, well, we've talked about them in the past, but they're the enabling of the Holy Spirit to be able to do the ministry that He's given us to do. Revelation and power and insight to do the things that He's given us to do. And then He's given us the promise of His presence. And at the end of the passage in Matthew 28, He talked about, I am with you always. And many times in Scripture where he said, you know, be strong and of good courage, he says, for I am with you. Is that right? And so knowing that he's with us, the promise of his presence is such an amazing thing. If we could turn into Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 to 15. And it's up there as well, guys, if we can throw it up. Romans 10, 13 to 15. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, and it just says this, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe? Sorry, that's actually the New King James, isn't it, that I'm reading? Maybe we'll read it from up there. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. And so just a couple of quick points on that. One is we often talk about being outward-looking, radic versus centric. Some favourite terms of Malcolm, our previous pastor. And so we often talk about, you know, reaching out to other communities. And part of what we do is, you know, ministry in Hay and ministry in Cooloman. Before that, many of you would be aware, some may not be, that our previous pastor, Malcolm Taylor, about 19 years ago, you know, he came and said, I feel that God is calling Julie's wife and I to plant a church in Orange. And so through several months we made the plans and we sent them out and we supported them for 6 months, you know, in Orange while the church got established, and they've been doing a great work there in Orange. And so that was an outreach of the church here in Narendra in the very early years, way back in, 40 years ago, the church at Griffith. Rod was over here preaching last Sunday, and he's a pastor of the church at Griffith, and he made mention that that church at Griffith started out of the Narendra church years ago. And so this church, right from its onset, has been a church that's wanted to look outside of itself. And, you know, there are many times where we could have said, well, you know, we need all the dollars that we can get. Let's sort of protect that a little bit. Well, you know what? We're really stretched. Let's sort of protect our time and let's really invest in Narendra. And I believe we have to be faithful in Narendra, but we have to look outside too and be reaching out into other places. And so to do that, you know, you're constantly aware of where is the Lord leading us? Where is he taking us? It's not just great ideas like get the map and go psh, like that, but it's just being open. What is the Lord saying? Where is he taking us? You know, I'm excited about, you know, what he's got in store for us in 2018, 19, 20. I believe, you know, and you can put this on record, I believe that actually there's a real awakening and a revival that's really moving across our nation, already happening in many places. And I believe you can already see different indications of that here, you know, answered to prayer and people that are just searching for the Lord. And many times in my week, there are people that talk to me or contact us and want to have a chat who have nothing to do with the church, but they're just searching and open and interested and wanting to know, not about the church as such, but they just want to know about, you know, about Jesus and who he is and what he can do in our lives. And so it's important, isn't it, that we're outward looking into our communities and into our nation and into the nations of the world. And so we're really committed to some of those things. You know, I was looking through an old video, and we're nearly done this morning, just a couple more things after this, but I was looking through an old video that Rachel put together for us, and I really got blessed just watching it, partly because I could laugh at some of the people who looked a lot younger back then, but the other thing was it's just inspiring to see, you know, this is what we were talking about, and, you know, some of it, you know, has moved forward a little bit, but it's still very much our heart. So I wanted to share it with you this morning. It's about 3 or 4 minutes. I'll show you this, and then we've got a little bit to do before we finish, and we'll be done for the morning. So we can kill the lights and show this little video. I think you'll appreciate it this morning.
For the sake of the world. I see an awakening.
Laughing in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, bring back a fire in me.
I want to see more and more people
come to know the truth about what God is really like and how he sees us.
I want to see people see themselves through God's perspective, and then out of that grow into a genuine devotion for God and then a desire to find what he wants for their life.
I want to see people find the place where they fit in our community and be loved and valued and appreciated for who they are, not just what they can do.
I want to see people whose lives have been destroyed, who are lonely, who are hurt, come to know Jesus and be restored in their lives.
I want to see lots of young people praising the Lord, living their lives for God fully, just getting involved and making change.
I want to see youth come to know who they really are.
I'd like to see my school all praising God.
I want to see people express themselves fully.
I want to see the farming community look out for each other.
I want to see people passionate about worship.
We want to see 100 kids in kids' church.
I want to see lots of people come into the bookshop and get lots more resources so that they can fill their lives with a lot more faith.
I want to see people encounter the unconditional love of God. Not just encounter it, but believe it for their life. I want to see our church family naturally loving and offering everyone a new level of grace.
I want to see
people standing up for what's right.
Awakening!
I want to see Canberrans inspired to begin their journey of faith in Christ. I want to see them grow, develop, and get stronger in their relationship with him.
We want to see international people, Aussies, coming to a real experience of God's grace. People in a community of faith, loving on each other, loving God, loving God's word.
I want to see the lost experience God's grace. I want to see uni students discover God's purpose for their lives. I want to see churches birthed across Australia.
Awakening.
What our heart is, what we'd love to see, is just that we can serve the children's homes and serve the Bible school raising up ministry in Sri Lanka and support the work that's already up from there.
I want to see Nivanuatu people return to good, healthy lives by teaching them how to cook their food. I want to see marriages transformed by the love of God. I want to see Nivanuatu children educated better.
What I'd love to see is that with our resources and with short-term ministry trips, we can build relationship, we can encourage them and help with the multiplication of the church in Serbia.
I want to see every orphan know the love of the Father.
I want to see them placed in families.
And I want to see young people empowered to walk in the fullness of their calling.
What do you want to see?
Alrighty, thank you. Take you back a little. See some faces you recognise there. So that was the theme of our Bible school in 2013, Awakening, and that was a video that I think reflected the heartbeat of the church in being the church as an army, reaching out to the community, but reaching out beyond into the communities around, reaching into our nation, reaching into the nations of the world. And you can't do everything, but it's following the way the Holy Spirit leads us. Another quote from from Jerry Cook. He says the church is as an army or as a force. It's the church is people equipped to serve, meeting needs everywhere in Jesus' name. Beautiful picture of what the church is as an army. I want to read from Psalm 40, just a quick scripture, and then we'll finish up. Psalm 40, and the first part of this psalm is probably one of many that I call, you know, like a life scripture, but this is a scripture that I guess I hold dear to, the first part of it, but it goes on to say some other things as well. So just making sure I've got the right psalm here. The right translation would help. All right. So Psalm 40, just verse 8 says, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions or your word I've hidden in my heart, or your instructions are written on my heart. I have told all your people about your justice. I've not been afraid to speak out. As you, O Lord, well know, I've not kept the good news of your justice hidden in my heart. I've talked about your faithfulness and your saving power. I've told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness. And so it's just a verse that talks about how our life is impacted with the joy of his presence and the joy of living for him and delighting in his will. And as we do that, and as he fills our life with his word and the principles of his word, then we experience his goodness. And so then we can't help but speak, you know, of his goodness. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, the apostles, after they were threatened for preaching about the name of Jesus, they said this. They said, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you or not to listen to you, he said, we cannot help but speak the things we've seen and heard. In other words, the things that they've experienced and in their life, in their relationship with Jesus, they couldn't help but speak it out. And so the church is an army. God is our commander. The good news is our mission. To make disciples and to go into the world and share his love and rinse the world with his love and with his life inside of us. And love is our motive, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Father, we love your church, Lord. We know it, your church is people, and in that sense, Lord, we're not perfect. Your church is not perfect. It's not even designed to be perfect, but designed to be real. But I thank you for the church as a bride, where we can have intimate relationship with you, where we can walk with you and know the joy of your word abiding inside of us, and know the sense of your presence and your power with us everywhere we go, just as you promised, lo, you would be with us always. Father, thank you for that place of intimacy and relationship with you. But Lord, thank you too that you've given us a mission. You've equipped us with authority and power. You've motivated us with your love to be able to look to our world and just be able to live out in a natural way, day by day, your life inside of us. Father, stir our hearts as individuals. Stir our hearts, Lord, as your church in this community. Lord, stir the hearts of your church, Lord, across our nation and into the nations to be an army in the right sense, to be a force, Lord, to be an influence of your love and grace into a world that needs to know your love and grace. So, Father, thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for your word, and I pray you just quicken it to our hearts and let it stir and bring fruit in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.